Fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. A distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain. Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Love, a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person, a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection, as for a parent, a child, or a friend in mankind, to name a few. To want the best for your neighbor in spite of you liking him or not. And we will in another episode describe in detail the different types of love, because there are many. But for the sake of this discussion today, we are going to speak in the terms of general love. You see, these two words go hand in hand, for the true opposite of love is fear. In one, love expands while fear shrinks. In fear, you become closed while love opens. In love, one trusts while in fear, there is doubt. Which one are you in? Welcome to another episode of Affirmations for Living. And of course, I'm your host, Reverend Edvige. It gives me great joy to be able to share with you each week principles and practices that I hope will inspire you to be the best possible you ever. And of course, the choice is all yours. Now, I am delighted today to be bringing you my guest, Victoria M. Reynolds, this week. We will be discussing how to move from a place of fear to that of love. She has a newly released book, Transcending Fear, The Journey to Freedom and Fulfillment. Victoria shares the process she used to free herself from the beliefs and expectations that were placed on her by her family, her community, her religion, and everyone around her. She's going to open her heart up truly and share her journey of emotional and spiritual liberation. So I'm very pleased and excited to bring her to you. So now my question then is, how do we move out of this place of fear? And certainly that's what I'm going to bring her in to discuss. But first, I want to go over my feelings on that a little bit. So how do we move out of fear? We have to recognize what fear is, I think, is probably the first part of that. And we'll come in and have her expertise. It is a lack of trust in perhaps your future. It is a lack of trust that everything is going to be okay, for truly all is well. But we have to believe that, don't we? It's a lack of trust that the universe is friendly, right? Source energy, God, is backing you up. And so you have to believe. To move out of fear, you must first affirm that you trust that you are attracting wonderful events and people into your life. Now, how do we trust in the universe and then trust ourselves, right? The answer is with love, which is the opposite of fear. So love is the most powerful energy in the universe, and it can override all other energies. Practice approaching each moment with love and an open heart. And that's what I want to leave you with. If you really intend, as you move forward in each moment in love, then I think you can transcend fear. So when driving your car, practicing feeling love and trusting in yourself and the universe, send little beams of love to everyone you pass. When at work, practice sending love to your coworkers. Answer the phone with love. Put love in your voice. And a key to that is smiling. As you speak, smile. And you can feel uplifted. And then that transcends and goes through that phone or whatever you're doing. Being loving in every moment is a challenge, okay? Because heaven knows none of these spiritual practices that I bring you from week to week, they're not always the easiest, are they? However, it's what we have to do if we want to move forward in that place of love. These people need your love the most, as they are a reflection of where you are not being loving to yourself. Think about that for a moment. So when unloving people come into your experience, they're a reflection of you. And so if you're getting people that you don't like and you're wondering why are they showing up, It's because you are a reflection of that. And so when you address that in yourself, then you no longer will be the mirror of what you don't like. Very interesting. So the more love you can send, the more you will raise your vibration, and then you initiate the laws of attraction. Aren't we always talking about the laws of attraction? It's so powerful, and we really have to understand there's so much more to it than just sitting there saying, I'd like to have this. You have to so truly become a match to it vibrationally, and it means it in every respect of the word. To raise your vibration permanently and joyfully, practice moving out of fear and into love. Just feel what it feels like to love. And that agape love, which I will talk about in a future episode, is the love for all. It's the love for neighbor. It's the love for what you perceive to be world threats and enemies. It's the love and the betterment of mankind. Regardless of your personal feelings of like or dislike, it's the love of mankind, because it's spiritual love, and that's so important. And if you can operate from this place of love more often, you will feel more joyful and peaceful and attract much more love into your life. Remember, whatever energy you put into the world, it's being reflected back to you. Our outer world is simply a mirror of our inner world. So just some thoughts to think about as we bring Victoria in, that regardless of what you're going through, you can come to that place of love. And it's very important that you just release ego, perhaps, right? And just let go of always needing to be right, and then allow love to fill those spaces. And that's the key, allowing love to fill those spaces. I think we're having trouble bringing my guest on. Let's see. Well, he'll keep trying. So, Victoria, I know you're listening, and he's having trouble bringing you in. So I'm going to give him another number for you and try that. But anyway, as we're bringing our guest in, it's really important that you remember to be in that space of love and harmony and balance, knowing that it is the key to all things. It truly is the answer. So it's really important that we remember that. So we're trying another number right now for Victoria, and it sounds like it's going to go through this time.
Hello?
Hello, Victoria.
Yes.
Hi, this is Edvige. You are live. Before you say anything, you are live on Affirmations for Living. Thank you for joining us. We did try your home phone. For some reason, it failed. So hopefully we won't lose this connection.
Okay, excellent. I won't move from this spot. And hopefully
there you go. So did you hear my intro about my ideas of what fear and love and how they're really opposites of each other, and how you have to move from that space to really find love? So now I talked about you recently have a book out, Transcending Fear, The Journey to Freedom and Fulfillment. What, first of all, inspired you to write this book?
Well, I started a few years ago. Actually, I've been working on another book for much longer, and this one kind of introduced itself right in the middle of another book that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. I find out that happens.
Oh, yes.
So, still working on the other book. But what happened essentially is that I found myself in the middle of a midlife crisis, similar to what I think a lot of other people have gone through over the last couple of years, and I call it my rebirth, because it turned out to not be a crisis at all. It really helped me find the happiness that had been eluding me. And initially, I didn't intend to write a book. It was my own healing process, and I was writing all these notes in little notebooks, mm-hmm. going through my own process of trying to find happiness in the midst of financial chaos and losing businesses and issues that I was having with my family. And discovered that as I was putting all of these notes into my computer, that a pattern started to emerge. And I thought, you know what? This has been so impactful in my life in helping me find what joy actually is, that perhaps this information can help other people. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't ever my intent to write this book. It was my own healing process, and discovered in that process that there are a lot of other people that can use this information.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's really a gift that I've created for the world. And what's really been great is finding so many other people who are reading my words and enjoying the gratitude that I feel when they share that gratitude with me. So I know my words are impacting people. That
Wonderful.
In itself is a reward.
Yeah, because fear is such an ugly thing, you know? And so just explain, I guess, and, you know, wherever you want to go, just go, because I know, you know, you have a clear message, and I really want the audience to know what that message is, because there's so much more to you, you know, and so just share, if you would, your background and that kind of stuff.
Well, it's really funny. I can laugh about it now. When I first started writing this book, the name of the book was Escape the Past. And a friend of mine said, well, you know, you can't really escape your past. So I had to really sit down and think about it. It went, to me, your past is your past. It's with you. It goes with you everywhere you go. So I really had to sit down and think, okay, what is the name of this book? And what I discovered is it wasn't about escaping my past. It was learning how to escape the fear that I had associated with my past. Now, my background is that I was born and raised in a fundamentalist polygamist cult.
Wow.
And so it's a little bit, it's definitely the fundamentalist religion with some unique additional attributes. What I started to discover when I was writing this book and as I was going through my own healing process was that everything that had been preventing me from finding real inner joy, real inner love, that real inner bliss that I had been told was possible, what was really preventing me from finding that bliss were these fear-based beliefs from my childhood religion. And even though I left this religion 25 years ago, I was a teenager, I ran away from home as a teenager, and I had left the religion long since behind me. But what I didn't realize is that some of these beliefs were so deeply entrenched in me that they were still preventing me from finding happiness. And what I had discovered is that they were actually preventing me from finding that true connection to myself and that true connection to spirit. And in looking at those beliefs further, I come to discover that a lot of our religious beliefs are actually preventing us from finding real spirituality.
Absolutely. You know, and I always talk about that we are programmed, and we're programmed by all of those things that as children we've experienced and have been exposed to, the beliefs of our parents, what they feel, you know, their beliefs on money, their beliefs on love and relationships, what we're taught in school through different religions. All of these things impact us, and we're seeded with that in our subconscious. And then as adults, when we move forward or try to move forward and we're wondering, why do I keep having these same experiences? It's because everything that's already planted in your subconscious is now in control, because it is the, you know, it's the stronger or the dominant belief. And so as you consciously try to live your life, your subconscious is saying, no, this is how it worked out before. This is what happened before. And so this is what's going to happen now. And that's how we're going to handle this. And so it takes such strength to really stop, recognize that there's an issue there, and then try to figure out what caused that false belief, and then mend it, release it, and move forward. So really, it's amazing, because that, I would say, is probably the issue that the majority of we have on this globe, is all the false programming that we've been subjected to, not only in this lifetime, but previous lifetimes. We bring it all with us. We're one spirit. We're just traveling in many different bodies. And so all of that programming still comes with us. And so it's amazing and it's awesome when we're able to really transmute those false beliefs, those false patterns, and then to move into our true identity, because our true identity says that we're perfect, whole, and complete. We just have to catch up to ourselves. Right. So what was the process for you in this discovery?
Really, it started out with my life had gotten to such a point where I had these, you know, flashes of suicidal thoughts. This was just a few years ago, and I realized that I really, really needed to do something different. And I discovered that I had completely lost the connection to myself, which does happen with a lot of moms. Mm-hmm. I had two small children, and I had promised myself if I ever had kids that I wouldn't lose myself to motherhood, and I still did. So I started getting up really, really early every morning when it was still dark outside and carved out this time of day for myself. And the only time I could do it was at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I started reconnecting with myself. And when I did, I started listening to that intuition, that voice that we all have inside of us, that part of us that is connected to something bigger than our physical selves. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know at first that's what it was. It was just this understanding that, okay, I need to reconnect with myself. And the more I reconnected with myself, the more I started listening to what I call my inner therapist. And my inner therapist gave me all the information that I needed to be able to heal myself from these beliefs.
Wow.
And what it was a matter of finding out, okay, what is this particular belief? Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I actually change it? And I had to figure out how to change those beliefs. Part of what it was discovering that a lot of these religious beliefs that we have are told, they're taught to us as love, but they're actually fear disguised as love. And so many of us have our eternity tied to these beliefs that it's really, really difficult to let them go.
Absolutely.
There's always that what if in the back of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized those beliefs were still there, because I got one of those what if my husband would join the Mormon church with me?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that it's still in my head somewhere. Wow.
Yeah. Because it's so deeply seated. So now, without giving away your book, because we certainly want everyone to go to Amazon and buy it, again, it's Transcending Fear, The Journey to Freedom and Fulfillment. Give us one example of a deep-seated false belief that you had and that it still had control over you. And then what did you do step by step to move through it and to come to a place of freedom, really?
Oh my gosh, there were so many of them. One was the belief that I wasn't worthy of love.
Mm. Now, what caused you to believe that, though? I mean, where did that come from?
I had no examples of love in my life as a child.
Mm.
None. The environment that I was raised in, people were married not because of love. They were married because that's how you got to heaven. A lot of people don't understand that in this...
That's how you got to heaven, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You can't go to heaven unless your husband has at least three wives. And so it really didn't have anything to do with love. It had to do with finding the three wives and that women were, like, panicking that their husband had to have three wives. And it was... the marriage was assigned. It wasn't something that you did out of love. It was an assignment. It was what you did because you had to do in order to earn the right to heaven. So I never had any examples of love in my life. My parents were not affectionate people. They were taught by their religion to get their children to salvation by whatever means necessary, that it was important to beat the will out of your children. And so I had no examples of love. There was no affection in my house. There was no affection in my community. I had no idea what it was.
Wow.
And so I didn't even know how to look for it.
Exactly, because you didn't know what you were looking for. Now, at that point, did you realize something was wrong, or did you just assume, since everyone around you was the same, did you just figure that was the norm? Did you know there was a different world?
No. No, but what's really interesting is that, and I've talked to other people who have left their religions, and that there's something inside. It was like something inside of me, even as a child, that said, this isn't the right thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it's not the right thing for other people. It was not the right place for me personally to be. And as much as I desperately tried to buy into what my parents and my religion were teaching me, I wanted to. I was told from the time I was a very little girl that I was one of God's chosen people, that before I was born, I had been handpicked by God to live this lifestyle. And that because I was one of God's chosen people, that nobody else in the outside world knew the truth, and that we were the only people that knew the truth. So there was so much of this belief that I was special and that I was blessed and that I was one of God's chosen daughters. And I really wanted to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
In the same token, there was something inside of me that said, yeah, but it doesn't feel quite right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I had to listen to that. And, you know, as a teenager, that's what ended up propelling me out, was watching what my mother went through when my dad did take another wife, and seeing the pain that it caused her was really the catalyst for saying, okay, this is obviously not right.
Yeah, because there's no love. If it were the right thing, your mother would have felt good about him taking another wife. It would have been a joyful experience. Wow, that's just
right.
Amazing.
Right.
But
so many of us are taught to believe that love hurts. That is a belief that most of humanity has, is that love hurts. And love isn't supposed to hurt.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, as I was saying earlier before you came on, it's profoundly tender and affection, and it makes you feel good. It's supposed to feel
mm-hmm.
good, whether it's
right,
the love
right.
of your puppy or it's agape love, which is spiritual love for all. It's coming from the divine source. And so in that, it feels good and right. And that still small voice will guide you, letting you know that it feels good and right. Yeah.
Right.
But many of us
live with this belief that love hurts.
Yeah.
It's a false belief that we've been sold on.
Yeah.
And that is why so many people can't even recognize what real love is, because real genuine love doesn't line up with what their perception of what they think love is.
Exactly. So now you're in this place and you see that your mother is obviously in pain. And I know you decided to move away from the religion, but what then as an adult did you do to get through this wanting to end your life? What were the steps you took personally to realize you needed to release the fear? It wasn't so much what they were doing, but it was how you allowed it to go into your subconscious.
You know, I've actually discovered that basically freedom is a four-step process.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And so I
take
found
notes,
my physical...
everybody. Take notes. A four-step process. Okay.
This, I've just discovered this on my own. Fortunately, I'm a very intuitive person, and I really listen to myself. So I found my physical freedom at the age of 17. I did not know anything else for the next 5 years. I was suicidal for the next 5 years because I was carrying around so much guilt and so much shame for not doing what God wanted me to do and for not doing what my parents wanted me to do. I lived on this edge of one part of me that was exhilarated about being able to have my own life, and the other mm-hmm. part of me that said, but you need to feel guilty and ashamed for all of this because you're not living the life that God wants you to live.
Exactly.
And
you're disobeying. How dare you disobey the will of God? Yeah, that's such control, but okay.
Mm. Yeah, so sorry, I got a little distraction for a second there. I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, so so I did have this incredible amount of fear and guilt, shame, all of those are all fear-based energies. That's one of the things I eventually came to recognize, that fear is the opposite of love, not hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another misconception that we have, where hate is actually the lowest vibration of fear. guilt is a fear-based energy. Defensiveness is a fear-based energy. Resentment is a fear-based energy. So all those fear-based energies were preventing me from finding happiness. Well, I had left home as a teenager and I found my physical happiness, but I had no idea when I left home that those emotions would still follow me. I thought, oh, change of circumstances, I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I also had no idea that there was professional help available, because this community group and the population of 500 people, I had no idea what was out there in the world.
Wow.
And I was afraid if I told anyone what was going on inside of me that they would put me in a mental institution. So I didn't tell anyone what was happening inside of me mentally, emotionally. And then a friend of mine in my 20s, a friend of mine introduced me to a Church of Religious Science.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was very hesitant. I'm like, oh, God, I'm not going to go to some church.
Not another
one. The last thing I wanted
really
in my life was another church.
Church.
Yeah. Not going to a church. But what was fascinating is I sat in that session, and the minister was a female. That immediately got my attention, because in the church I came from, no woman would ever be allowed to speak in front of an audience. And her lesson was about prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And her lesson was basically the one thing I took away from that was that I choose the direction of my life. Now, I was 21 years old, and I had never, ever heard that I had any choice in my life.
Mm. Wow.
My entire life, I'd been told from the moment I was conceived, the moment I died, God already had the whole thing planned out for me. I had nothing to do with the direction of my life. And that was the first time I'd heard that I choose and that my choices actually caused my life.
Absolutely.
I was completely dumbfounded.
I bet. And how easy was that even for you to accept? I mean, did you instantly say, that makes sense, I understand, or did you fight with that for a moment?
Oh, it took me another 20 years to figure that out. I've never heard that before.
You see, this is all normal, people.
I was so angry with my parents. I was so angry with my parents for lying to me.
But
for lying to me and telling me that I had
no
choice in my life.
Yeah. You know, and it's so interesting, because understanding that what you believe is your truth. And so that was their truth, even though it was
right.
A lie to you when you realized it was a lie. But for them, it's their truth. And it's such an interesting thing, because then we have to understand that everything is our perception. So what I believe to be the truth about myself is the truth about me. And I can move forward and manifest and co-create the life for myself based on my perception of my
mm-hmm.
experience. And boy, what a learning that was for you.
Mm. Yeah. And it took me a while to figure it out. I had never heard the term choices and consequences. It's literally for the next 5 years, I thought, okay, I can make choices. I had no idea what consequences were. So I made stupid choices. A lot of stupid choices.
Lots of contrast to bring you back into harmony.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I finally just, you know, I was in my mid-20s, and I finally said, okay, I have got to get a handle on this. And I started reading every self-help book I could get my hands on. I couldn't even begin to tell you the names of every book that I read. But I knew that the Church of Religious Science had a really good bookstore, and it was the only place I knew to get really good books from. And so that's where I went to find my self-help books.
Wonderful.
Which, of course, now we know as the Centers for Spiritual Living, but I didn't make that connection between spirituality and self-improvement at all. I didn't make that connection until just within the last year or two. I just knew that I needed to work on myself, and I would do whatever it took to fix what I recognized as being wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never stepped foot in a therapist's office. I learned how to listen to my own therapist. I learned how to read every book I could get.
Well, and that's the key. You know, everyone's out there, and sometimes they're searching for things outside themselves, even searching for God outside yourself. Everything is within already. And if we can get quiet, last week I taught about meditation and visualization and affirmations. If we can quiet our body, our mind, our spirit for a moment and get tuned in, tapped in, turned on to that still small voice and connect, all of the guidance that you ever need is within. But you have to take responsibility to hear it, and then what you hear you may not like, you have to accept responsibility for your actions, for your consequences, mm-hmm. and for the life that you are creating, because every moment of it is your own creation.
Yeah, and it took me a while to understand that. I didn't quite understand how what creation looks like, and even co-creation. I started to understand how the energy that we call God works.
Mm-hmm.
And how I'm always in co-creation with it, and that it's not God's will or my will. It's a co-creation between my energy and the energy of every human being around me and the energy of infinite intelligence. It's all this amazing co-creation that we're all a part of.
Absolutely.
That took me a very long time to understand. And so when I started writing this book, it was, as I had said, it was about overcoming the past and realize that what it really was is learning how to change, as you were saying earlier, learning how to change my perceptions of the past,
mm-hmm.
and learning how to change my perceptions of the beliefs that I had from my childhood, and learning how to overwrite those beliefs with new empowering beliefs. And it was not an easy process. I can't tell you how many tears I have shed in the last 2 years in being willing to open myself up and say, okay, what is this all about? Why am I feeling this way? What judgment do I have against myself mm-hmm. that I need to fix so that I no longer have those judgments against other people?
Absolutely.
So it really, really came down to saying, first and foremost, I have to look at me. My universe is an extension of my perception of myself. And learning how to move out of my fear-based beliefs and transmuting those beliefs into love.
So now, what are these four steps in this process that you use?
Oh, okay. Well, there was actually two different. There's my book actually has six different steps.
Okay.
What I was saying about freedom is that you have physical freedom. Then what I discovered was emotional and mental freedom. That's what I discovered with all of those self-help books. And so I had gotten to a point in my life where it's very, very balanced, and I felt really, really good about myself and about my life and this life that I had created. And I met this amazing man who was. Been with me for 20 years.
Yay.
And yay.
You are deserving of love, as we all are. Amen.
Yeah. And, you know, and I had these two great kids, and but something just still was not quite right. And what I had discovered just, you know, within the last couple of years, that I had my physical freedom, I had my mental freedom, I had my emotional freedom. So if you think my body, mind, heart, but my soul was still trapped.
Mm.
So what I needed to find was spiritual freedom. And that is really what I have found in my life in the last couple of years. And that amazing feeling of absolute pure love, pure bliss, it comes through spiritual freedom. That's what I call spiritual liberation, which is that our soul is no longer trapped by fear-based beliefs.
Bound by anything.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah, you get this amazing connection to ourselves, this connection to everything and everyone and the entire universe. You suddenly feel this intense connection to all that is. And that comes once we liberate ourselves from the fear-based beliefs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, but we can't really get to spiritual freedom until we work through the other types of freedoms, because we can't until we unlock the beliefs in our mind
mm-hmm.
to really get to that enlightenment of the heart. It's a process of working down through all of those layers and getting into the core.
And so,
and that's where the spirit is.
To the listeners, what would you say would be the very first step? Then, because we have all these layers, like that onion peeling that layer, we have all these mm-hmm. layers we have to get through. Okay, so here I am, and I'm in this place of fear for whatever. What do I need to do? First, accept that I'm fear of life, fear of being poor, fear of not having love, fear of losing my job, fear whatever, however it shows up for you. it's that place of fear. What does that person need to do? What's their first step?
Gratitude.
And yeah. They're going to say, okay, I'm going to be the devil's advocate for a moment because I know exactly where you're going. Mm-hmm. But what do I have to be grateful for? My life sucks right now. Tell me, what do I have to be thankful for?
You know, that was where I had gotten to. I was at the very, very, very bottom of the pit. As I mentioned, I was actually having these thoughts of suicide. And I thought, okay, I have two little babies that need me. I have to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, I was out walking one morning and I saw this just spectacular sunrise. It was just this beautiful pinks and purples. And I had this overwhelming sensation of gratitude for being able to see the sunrise.
Mm.
And that is where it all started. It was, the start was just the smallest things. You have eyes to see the sunrise. You have a new day to work with. You get to hear the song of the birds. You get to hear the sound of the ocean. And you get to experience other people waking up in the morning, because I would see people come out of their houses and get in their cars and drive off for the day. And it was just, start there. Start with just the teeny, teeny, tiniest thing that you have to be grateful for. And what I found is that as I started being grateful for these teeny, teeny, tiny things, I started finding other things to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
And my entire perception about my life started to shift, because I suddenly started to see that there were good things in my life.
Mm.
And then everything started to change.
Change from there. And that's such an important step. This is actually a major step. It is a universal law, the law of gratitude. And by the way, you cannot actually obtain and do the law of attraction without first mastering the law of gratitude. And what Victoria is saying, take those baby steps. You know, I have a practice that I love to do every evening. I will find 4 to 5 new things that I experienced in that day to be grateful for. And I will, in my prayer, say, thank you, Father, Mother, God, for, and what those new things are, because we don't ever want to be in vain our gratitude. And so it is the important first step, whether, like you said, it's simply hearing the bird chirp in the morning. Do you know what a blessing it is to have wildlife, to have God's great little creatures around us, or your little puppy coming up and, you know, and licking your nose? How wonderful an experience that is. And so it's to find joy. You know, it's so funny. I live in Vegas. Right now it's about 115 degrees. And so my joy is that my air conditioning is working. Do you understand that it's about, hello, it's about everything. There is nothing that we should not be giving thanks for. It's in the evening. You take that nice warm shower and it relaxes you. Give thanks. So you don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be so metaphysical or spiritual in nature, because all is about spirit. It can be the simplest of things, that you have food to eat, that you were able to go to take your family to the movies. Any little step that you can be grateful for, what you're doing is telling the universe, thank you, send me more of this now. And then before you know it, it becomes more and more. And now the laws of attraction start to go into effect. And now you're like, whoa, I see how this works and how it feels to give thanks. Mm-hmm. And now more begins to show up that you can give more thanks for. And it's so important. It is the very first step to be grateful for where you are, to acknowledge where you are right now, and to pat yourself on the back and to be grateful and thankful that, you know what, I do see that I can make changes. I do see where my life can improve. I may not like what I'm doing right now, but I know that I'm grateful for the life that I have. And if I just stick to it, I can make the changes that will help me to live the better life that I'm wanting for myself, because I am deserving. And even if you say you are deserving and you don't necessarily believe it 100%, fake it till you make it, because your subconscious does not know the difference. Just like all that false programming that you believe to be the truth about you turned out to not be the truth, you can make up what you want to be your truth and start to seed yourself with those thoughts until eventually they become the truth about you as well. And so, it's so amazing. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that, because that is such an important part of this equation, being grateful.
Yeah, it completely changed my life. I can't even express how much gratitude changed my life. And it was just enough to change the mind of the universe, so to speak. And that, as you were saying about the law of attraction, well, the law of attraction gives us what we focus on. Mm-hmm. So if we're focusing on everything that's wrong with our life, that is what we're going to get more of, because that's where our focus is.
100% of the time.
Change, every time. So if we can change our focus to what it is we're grateful for, then we start getting more things to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
And we no longer we can get to the point where we no longer see anything as being wrong. There is nothing wrong in my life. Everything in my life has
purpose.
To it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And divine purpose. And even if it shows up in not the prettiest of packaging with the perfect bow on it, it's serving its purpose and it's moving you down the path of light. And that's the thing. It's moving you down that path. And as we evolve and expand, it really is all good, because it's all just experiences. And after all, this is a school of learning. We are here to expand, to grow, to learn. And so it's a blessing to take a breath every day, every moment, every second. So, yeah, it's just so important that we understand how divine we are, and that we do matter, and that we are deserving of that love, and we can move from that place of fear and doubt and lack and limitation. All of those things that you believe to be holding you back, just change your perspective on them, just tweak them ever so slightly, and you will begin to feel and see love and light show up.
Yeah, just everywhere. It is amazing. It is amazing the circumstances I've attracted into my life, the people I've attracted into my life. It's phenomenal. And, my financial situation didn't change immediately. It took time. Nothing happens overnight. But what was really interesting is that in that process, when I was in the middle of a bankruptcy, I was in the middle of a foreclosure, but I was at the happiest I'd ever been in my life.
See? Yeah. Perception. One would look at that and say, oh, my God, your glass is half empty, and poor you, right? And another would say, wow, you're making room for so much more to come to you. Hello.
Yeah.
Let's see it as making room for so much more to come to you.
Yeah. It is amazing what has happened in my life since then, just what I have learned from these lessons and all of it. It's just been this amazing experience. And now the universe gives me gifts all the time. It is the craziest thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, I just ask. I want tickets to something, and someone gives me free tickets. I win tickets. I find money everywhere I go. It is the craziest thing.
Give thanks.
I just give thanks. It's like, okay, you know what? I live in this absolute trust that I know that all of my needs are being met. And they are.
Indeed, yes.
And it's not, and it's no longer just that my needs are being met. It's my needs and my desires are being met. And the people and the situations and the synchronicities just get placed right in my path. And I don't even have to work that hard for them. I have to recognize them. You know, the synchronicities get put in our path, and we actually have to see them and recognize them and do something with them.
Be aware.
But they get put in front of my path all the time. I just, you know, every morning I get up and I do my morning meditations, and part of my morning meditation is that I ask my eyes and ears be open to recognize the synchronicities as they arrive in my path. And it is amazing what happens in my life on a daily basis.
Wonderful. So, Victoria, tell us what you're doing. I know I watched your video clip, And it says something about are you working on a movie or something right now that you want to share, that you can share?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually working on my first film. I'm producing my first film. It's called Polygamist City, The Rise and Fall of Zion. And it is a documentary that is based on the story of Warren Jeffs and the FLDS.
Mm-hmm.
The FLDS, for people who might not know who that is a fundamentalist polygamist community that's in Colorado City, Arizona, and Warren Jeffs has been put in prison for marrying a couple of 12-year-olds.
Oh my!
Nice justification for what he was doing within this community. And the reason that we decided to do this documentary is that this religion is essentially the religion that I was raised with. Although the community that I lived in was in Montana, the core beliefs are the same.
Okay.
So, creating this documentary about Warren Jeffs and the beliefs that his people are facing, the beliefs and the lifestyle within that community. And then we're also highlighting my story and how those beliefs affected me and this other girl, Amber Donnelly, who's an actress, and who is also raised in a similar community. And the film follows us in our journey of discovery of where these beliefs came from and how these beliefs affected us and our ability to transition out into the real world and the healing process that comes from that.
Wow.
What most people don't recognize is, yay, you left when you were 17. How great. There was another 25 years of healing that came from that.
Absolutely.
Oh, great, you're out. Then life is fabulous. There is so much healing and so much transition. And most of the people who leave these environments end up in sexual abuse, they end up in physical abuse, they end up on drugs and alcohol, they end up in very, very tumultuous relationships because they have no idea
how to
deal with the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm always talking about the subconscious and how we're programmed. And so just because your physical body moved away from it, your subconscious, your thoughts, your mind, it's right there reliving it every moment of every day until you can address it and release it. So it's such a valuable wow, that's going to be a wonderful movie because it's going to help so many people. And not only is it just about polygamy, but it's about understanding our choices and finding our freedom and our voice. And, you know, I think that's even a bigger message. It's really about finding our voice and how do we push through, because it takes such strength. You didn't end your life. You stood up and you said, I want to be happy. And you found the way and the means for yourself to do that. And that definitely is to be commended, because it's not always the easiest thing to do, you know.
Yeah, well, I have to be honest with you. The only reason I didn't end my life when I was a teenager, I tried to commit suicide. And the only reason I didn't was because I was afraid of going to hell.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're live, too, and I'm just oh, do you see how fear-based that is?
I was so afraid of spending eternity in hell that I couldn't even kill myself. I was like, okay, then I have to find another option here.
Yeah, really. I'm just going to have to suck it up and get through this thing called life, because Wow.
So I was a miserable human being for a long time. and then more recently, just, you know, within the last couple of years, when I had, it was just a very short flash of suicide one day, and I just went, you know what, I'm not going to let this beat me. I have to figure this out. And that was definitely another driving force inside of me, because it was no longer a fear of hell that was driving in me. It was a fear of not being there for my family.
Absolutely. Yeah, not living to your full potential. I mean, your life.
Not living my hand.
Yeah, you have value. You have purpose. Okay, what am I doing with that? Well, I want to thank you. We're actually getting towards that time where we are ending this 1 hour. I want to thank you so much, Victoria. Do you want to give your website out so everyone can find you? And, of course, it will be on my host page in the archive.
Sure. It is victoriamreynolds.com. Very simple.
Very simple. And your book is available on Amazon as well as iUniverse.com?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty much everywhere now.
Okay.
On the internet. Yeah. Not in regular bookstores yet. We're shopping bookstores right now, but it is available all over the internet.
Wonderful. And that is Transcending Fear, The Journey to Freedom and Fulfillment. Absolutely. I want to thank you. Take care.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And so I want to thank everyone for listening in. I hope this has truly been inspiring to you, because we do have the power within ourselves to create the life that we want. We can move from fear, from a place of doubt and lack and limitation, to a place of loving ourselves completely, because we are divine, unique individuals. We don't have to believe all of that false programming that was put upon us by whomever, whether it be your family, community, religion. It doesn't matter. You don't have to put fault anywhere. It's about you just stepping into your divine light and becoming the best person that you could become in this moment. That's what it's about. And so I want to thank you. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living. I am your host, Reverend Edvige. You can find my website, affirmationsforliving.net. Follow me on Facebook. Sign up for my newsletter. That's about it for this week. I want to thank you. Take care and be blessed. Bye-bye.